Colossians chapter 1. The title of the message today is It's Decision Time. And we're continuing our study of more. The desire, of course, or the goal, the theme of this study is that you want more of Jesus. We want more of everything, right? You want more money?
No.
Don't worry, I'll take it. Amen. I want more money, Brother Doug. You want more good health? Amen. I do, you know. I mean, there's a lot of more that we want. But do we ever stop and think, I want more of Jesus? That's the goal of this study. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which is preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you today in need of you. Lord, we want more of you. Live within us. Forgive us of sin. Guide our steps so that we may live a life that will honor and glorify you. Lord, we love you. We love you for your salvation that you have provided for Jesus through Jesus Christ our Lord. We love you, Lord, because of your presence in our daily lives. We love you, Lord, because of your provision. For Lord, every good thing, every good gift comes from above. And we say thank you. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd move freely among us today. That, Lord, you will convict of sin. That you'll draw all men to you. And that you'll give us the heart to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The first thing I want to look at today as we examine the text that we just read is God's declaration. If you'll notice, in verse 19, I want to go back through that. It says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell." Now, I want us to chew on that for just a minute and what it means. The subject under discussion here is God's plan to bring man back into a right relationship with Him. And the statement is, of course, that in Jesus Christ, all the fullness or everything that we could possibly need to be in a right relationship with God has been provided. You see, God chose Jesus before the foundation of the world to be our avenue to the Father. God, He is not given, this is not an option A, B, C, or plan A, B, C, D. Okay? There are no other options. There are no other possibilities. There is nothing that you can do to work it out with God. I always laugh when I hear people say, "Yeah, me and the man upstairs got it worked out." Well, there's all kinds of things theologically wrong with that statement. Number one, God's not a man. Number two, He doesn't live upstairs. And number three, He doesn't make deals. Okay? It's God's way or no way. And from the beginning of time, before the creation of man, God established that Jesus Christ be the Messiah, the Savior, the avenue for man to have a relationship with God the Father. It's not your works. I want you to understand, because so many people think, well, you know, I understand what Jesus did, but I've got to do certain things to accomplish this salvation. No! No! He does not say that it pleased the Father that in Him and your works all the fullness shall dwell. It doesn't say that, does it? does not say that in Him and your baptism shall all the fullness dwell. It does not say that in Jesus and Muhammad all the fullness will be realized. It doesn't say between Jesus and Buddha. It says Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. And the first point I want you to get in this message is that if you don't go through Jesus, you're not going through heaven. Okay? It's Jesus, period. Okay? Now, second thing I want you to realize is God's deliverance. God's desire to have a relationship with you. And I want to turn your attention to verse 20 of the text that we read once again. It says, and by Him, by Jesus, to reconcile all things to Himself by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. God's desire with you today, with everyone present, is to restore the relationship that has been broken. That's what reconciliation means. God's desire has always been a relationship with you as an individual. Yeah. But you've got to understand, first of all, when your relationship is broken. Think about broken relationships for a moment. If you're married, you know what happens when the relationship breaks, right? When you become angry at your spouse, or your spouse becomes angry with you. I know that never happens to most of us, but I'm just, let's consider that just in case it did. Somebody once said, well, we never fight. Obviously, you're not married, right? Every once in a while, you're going to have a disagreement. But when you have this disagreement, what happens? Well, our response usually is something like you ignore them. You ever walk through the house by your spouse and refuse to acknowledge their existence? Yeah. I'm not speaking to you right now. That'll teach them. You know? Or the opposite. We get mad at them and we lash out at them. Give them a piece of our mind. After all, they deserve that. That's how we do relationships. And then the other thing we often do is we run to a friend and we pour out how terrible our husbands are, right? Or our wives are because of what they've done. But you know, in all of that, all the anger, all the ignoring, all the harsh words, that never fixes anything. You ever notice that? It never fixes it. What fixes the problem? What fixes the problem is when I go to Beth and I say, darling, I was a real heel. I was a dummy. Beth, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Does that work for y'all? I mean, most of the time, she may test me a little bit to see that I'm serious. But most of the time, honey, I'm sorry. I'll try not to do it again. It works. And I don't have to go through the house because, listen, when you're married to somebody and you go through the house mad at one another, it's just wrong. Everything about that home is wrong and you just, you know, it's just not right. Well, let's consider our relationship with God. Many are living in that state with God. Yeah, I mean, where that relationship is just not there. You may be mad at God and you attack, and that's the way we usually do. We attack anything God just to show God that He has not treated us right. Have you ever been in opposition or at odds with God? Yeah, I mean, bad things happen, you know, something goes wrong in your life and it's God's fault. If there's a God in heaven, why is this going wrong in my life? You know how dumb that is? And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but it is. Because it doesn't fix anything. It doesn't help. You look at anything God... have you ever wondered, why do lost people, why do those who are out in the world, they look at the church and they say, well, I don't go to church because that church is filled with hypocrites. You ever wonder why they do that? They're lashing out at God. I mean, let's face it, you know, we could all live a better life, right? But they're not attacking you, they're attacking God. Point their finger and talk about how bad the church is and pastors. I mean, we all know how bad pastors are. You will not believe the number of times I've heard people say, well, preachers are just in it for the money. You have lost your mind. And obviously do not understand what most preachers make. But it has served to help me to realize that they're not attacking me. They're attacking God because they are at odds with God. And I'm just an avenue that they use. They're fighting God. I want to tell you something. There are people here today who are fighting God. Okay? Are directly opposed to God. Lost people who are here today, and it may be you got in a bind and didn't have any choice. You had to come today, but so you're just here to endure it. Let me ask you, why are you fighting God? Why? Here's the fact. Until you address the relationship, there will be no peace. Just like the husband and wife who walk around day after day with all swollen up and refusing to talk to one another, you know, it doesn't get right until you sit down and say, I'm sorry. I love you. You know, and that's what happens to people in their relationship with God. And they fight it. And you keep thinking it'll change, but it never changes. Oh, Paul. Paul, the Apostle Paul, knew what it was to fight God. The first part of his life was all about fighting God. And I mean, he was there when Stephen was stoned. He was there. He watched. It says he agreed with that. He was there arresting Christians and persecuting Christians, doing anything he could do to fight the cause of Jesus Christ, until one day when God struck him down on the road to Damascus. He was struck down with blindness, and Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? Saul was a liar. He knew exactly who it was. Otherwise, he wouldn't have put Lord on the end of that sentence. Who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. But what's really interesting about that story was, he told Paul at that point, he said, it's hard to kick against the goads. You know what a goad is, right? Not a goat, a goad. A goad was an ox goad. It was something it was a stick, and they would have a sharp end, and they would poke the ox with it to get the ox to go where they wanted him to go. And if you've ever worked cattle before, you'll know that if you goad a cow or goad an ox, his first response is to kick at that goad. But it never does him any good. He just kicks at the goad and hurts more and more. And Paul, that's what Paul was doing all the time. He was persecuting Christians and trying to put to death and stop the cause of Christ. All the time he was kicking against the goads, and Jesus called his hand on it that day, and he said, Paul, it's hard to kick against the goads. Why are you kicking? You know, Paul, what's right. There are people here today who are kicking. You know what is right. You know that your relationship with God will not be right until you approach God in sincerity and confess your sin. And until you do that, it'll never change. God's message to you today, lost person, I want to say God's got a message for you. God's message is you do not have to live this way. Because God wants reconciliation. But it's not just lost people. It's saved people. Have you ever been at odds with God as a child of God? I mean, let's be realistic. Let's be honest. Look at verse 21. It says, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled." Paul's having to remind saved people, look, you're not to live at odds with God. You were once alienated and enemies, but you have been reconciled. There are saved people today who are at odds with God. Oh, you may be blaming people for your trouble, but the bottom line is you know deep down it's you and God that's not right. Maybe something's happened in your life and you prayed for something didn't go just the way you thought it should. Maybe you've lost a loved one and you don't understand, and so you're God, why did you take my loved one? You've been hurt in church, so you've just swore off church. Some God's calling to the ministry. You know God still calls men to the ministry? He still calls preachers today. There are some God is calling to the ministry. And you've been kicking against the goad. God's saying, come. Enjoy the joy, the fullness, the complete relationship that we can have together. And you're kicking, no God. All the while, the pain never leaves. There are even people today here who have made bad life choices. Choices to live in a sinful, immoral, ungodly manner in which you know is in direct violation to the standards that God has put forth in His Word. And so you've quit coming to church because it just reminds you that you're not right with God. Why are you living this way? Why? God's message to you is Jesus died to reconcile you to the Father. This is not the relationship that Jesus died for. In verse 22, you see, He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. That's where I want to be. How about you? That when I go before God, that God sees me as holy and blameless. And that's what happens when you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. When you have placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what happens. That's what it's all about. That you can go before God, the Creator of this universe. And He sees you blameless and above reproach. How do you get there? What do? You stop denying and start confessing. As I said, like you would with your spouse, you got to sit down sometimes and say, I'm sorry. Why would you live in misery when God has this beautiful reconciliation plan so that you can have peace? I'll go back to David. Oh, David, you remember, a man after God's own heart. But he got caught up in sin. And when God called His hand on it, oh, it broke his heart. You see, he thought he covered it up. He thought nobody would ever know about his adultery with Bathsheba until one day when the prophet came in and said, God knows. And as a response to that sin, in the book of Psalms, chapter 51 and verse 4, David cries out, and you can see the sorrow in his heart that his relationship had been broken. He said, against you And you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. God, I have sinned against you. You're literally, God, I have been wrong. I mean, that's something very hard to say, isn't it? I'm wrong. You ever told your spouse you're wrong? Very hard to do. Work at it, you can't say it. God, I've been wrong. I've been wrong. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, David said, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth. God, I know what you want from me. You want me to be truthful. You desire truth in your inward parts, and in the hidden parts you make me to know wisdom. God, I can't lie to you anymore. God, I've sinned. I've turned my back on you and I come back. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. You remember what it was like when you were saved? You felt like the world had been lifted off your shoulders. You knew what joy was. You knew what it was to be in a right relationship with God. And David did too. That's why he prays, make me know joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. See the repentance there? See, that's what most churches are leaving out today. We're leaving out the repentance part. Oh, just come just as you are. God loves you. He loves your sin. No, He doesn't. No. God resists the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. You want to be restored? Repentance has to be in the equation. If you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, again, repentance has to be in the equation. Brother Doug, what I do? I know I'm a sinner. Well, you go to God. You take your sin, your sinful condition before God, and you cry out. I love the prayer of the tax collector. As two men went to pray. One was a Pharisee, and that Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, he prayed. And you know what he prayed? He prayed, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like the tax collector, a sinner. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that. I want to tell you, if that's your attitude, you'll get nowhere with God. But when that old tax collector came, you know what he said? He said, verse 13, And the tax collector, standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It starts with realizing you're wrong. Stop making excuses and take it before God. You see, that's what this avenue of deliverance that I'm talking about with Jesus is about. God has given you Jesus so that you don't have to live in this opposition. So you don't have to live with the guilt and the pain that goes along with being at odds with God. Finally, your decision. Verse 23, it says, if indeed, the last verse says, if indeed you continue in faith, grounded, steadfast, and are not moved away from the gospel. Which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. You see, as you read this, when you go back, the if there, the first thought that most people have is, well, he must be talking about, I've got to work to keep my salvation. That's not the subject. The subject is relationship. What he's saying is how to maintain your relationship with God. So how are you going to do that? You've got to make up your mind. You've got to decide what you want. You've got to quit fighting Jesus and just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If you continue in faith, if you continue grounded, if you continue steadfast, if you're not moved, you see, it's an all or nothing kind of thing. It's a make up your mind. It's decision time. I don't want to live this way anymore. That's our point. No longer do I want to be moved by circumstances. I choose Jesus. That's it. That's my challenge to you today. Stop living in a make-believe world pretending that nothing's wrong and choose Jesus. See, that's option one. Option one. You can choose Jesus. Option two. You can continue the way you're going. Continue the way you're going. But you understand, if you exercise option two, today, you'll make a decision that you'll have to live with tomorrow and maybe even die with, where you'll have to live with your decision for an eternity. Today, make up your mind. Lost person, you don't have to live this way. Living in fear, not knowing where you're going, not knowing that if you were to die today, you know, where you'd spend eternity. Walk out of here with Jesus. Quit fighting God. Quit trying to belittle God and belittle His church and belittle His saints. And just realize, when the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that's talking about you. And the only way you can deal with that, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's up to you. Saved person. Don't live at odds with Jesus. Don't live at odds with the Savior who gave His life so that you could have the complete and fullness of what a relationship with God is supposed to be. You may be here today and you need to rededicate your life. I'd invite you to come. The altar will be open. You may be here today and you've not... You know that God's leading you to become a member of this church, and you've known it for a while, but you've just not acted on it. Come on. Yeah. Don't fight God. You may be here today, and you're living that ungodly, immoral lifestyle that does not belong in the life of a child of God. Time to repent. Time to get it fixed. The goal of this message is that we can all walk out of here knowing the fullness of joy of being in a right relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Are you? Make up your mind. It's decision time. Our Father in heaven, Father, we come to You and we thank You for Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Lord, we thank You for this writing, Paul's letter to the Colossians, and the reminder today of who we are through Jesus Christ. That Jesus gave His life so that we could have eternal life, but it doesn't end there, it just begins there, so that we could have a right relationship with God the Father. Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are here today who do not know You as their Savior. I pray they'll come for salvation. For those who need to make a move, whether for church membership, baptism, rededication, I pray they'll come. I pray that we'll quit pretending and that we'll be truthful and honest with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.